telephone. She said, stop what you're doing, baby, come on home. I can't hold out.
It's fine. I think the noise gator usually takes chips panting out.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Man, I really can't help but imagine, like, shirts for Stop a Show. And I want Master of the Segway. That has to be a thing, because that's your quote.
But you have to put on, like, sunglasses, and it has to say, like, something, like, at the bottom, deal with it. And we got ourselves
I'm down.
A Me Mana shirt.
I'm down. Let's invent some shirts. We have the noise gator, which... has to be a real shirt. That's like our oh my god, I forgot what it is. What's a Squid Bear? That's like Max Scoville's Squid Bear.
Yeah. Noise Gator, and we could have a companion Rock Croc.
What?
Yeah, just Rock and Croc.
Or a name I came up with the other day. Now that was proper English. Why did I doubt myself? I always doubt myself. It was Chronic the Hedgehog.
Nice. But that would be like the world's slowest hedgehog, so that's awesome. I love it.
Dude, but he would be so homey.
Oh, I love it. It's like, hey, everyone.
He's just smoking a blunt. Like,
it's like, hey, guys.
Golden ring around his neck.
No, no, no. It'd be like, hey, I went to the Green Hill Zone, but it's not what you think.
Dude, I saw...
No. You need that one. to complete the whole weed aesthetic.
I actually saw someone at Game Over Video Games, which is in Austin, and also in Round Rock, which we have one close to the new place that we need to go check out. But I saw in their art section, because they sponsor like local art that's video game related, and someone made the Green Hill Zone, exactly what you're talking about, and it has the, you know, the brown tiled ground area with the green grass and everything on top. But it had Sonic the Hedgehog in a shower. And inside of the shower, he was smoking the emeralds out of a pipe. I was like, wow. I don't want to hang that in my room, but it was impressive and it was unique.
No, that's like bathroom.
But see, that's Chronic the Hedgehog, though.
Yeah, that's
like the different levels of class. That's bathroom
that's
class.
That's bathroom art.
That's like Velvet Elvis.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Oh, gosh, Velvet Elvis. Nice. Nice reference. Yeah. All right, well... very nice. Very nice pre-show banter, everyone. And this is a Stop a Show Lone Homeblack crossover, part tres.
It's our victory lap.
Or, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
In Mario Kart sense, this is a victory lap. Another tied it in there with nice. A nice little video game reference. But we are joined today by Emily Brinkmeyer.
That's me.
And, of course, we know our Slap a Show co-host, Mr. Zachary Shepard.
Hello.
And today we're coming to you to discuss a very special game that has been out for a few years. We've gotten so many mods, so much video watchings on YouTube, so many facts that are super obscure, but, you know.
Tons of creativity.
Second lookings. We're talking about Minecraft. And more specifically, what kind of culture has Minecraft bred, or the Minecraft culture, per se? So, since this is a... me taking the reins, I think we could just kind of break it down from a historical sense. But we could start at the beginning, but we could also talk a little bit about the game's creator, Mr. Notch, which, as he's belovedly or sometimes patently known in the Minecraft community, Notch is the creator of Minecraft. He's a very eccentric fella. I mean, obviously, by the name Notch, that's about as eccentric as you could get in Scandinavia with a name like that, I suppose.
Scandinavia?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this game is not American bread, my friend.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm bringing most of the gameplay facts here. I don't actually know a lot of the history stuff on that end of it.
Well, that's a good point. I think from Mr. Notch's perspective, I think what he wanted to encapsulate in this game, and of course, I can't really speak for him per se, but Minecraft is different things to different people. And what I love about Minecraft is that it has the extent of visualization from the perspective of the person that's playing it. So it is very easy to say that Minecraft is different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could all agree that creepers suck. At the very least. We could agree on
yes.
that.
Yes. All of us. And hopefully there's not somebody out there who actually likes.
Or oh, yeah. I think creepers. People enjoy having just toiling away, building their life-size replica of the Starship Enterprise. And then just like, creepers.
Have you seen that? Does that exist?
Yeah.
Everything that has ever existed in IRL, it has existed in Minecraft.
Well, this wouldn't be IRL. This would be in IFL?
In fake
fictional life?
Yes.
Fictional?
Because I believe the Starship Enterprise has not been a thing yet.
It's real.
It's
a religion.
It's going to happen. But, you know, whether it actually speeds through space and warp speed or actually uses warp, you know, warp holes, which are more of a Star Wars thing. Anyway, that's a completely different topic. I don't mean to nerd out just on that. But
yeah, we need to keep our nerding to our specific topic.
Anything that you could think of, whether fictional or based in real life, has pretty much been a project on Minecraft to replicate. I mean, down to scale, down to even a few times, depending on the project, the actual inside and outside appearance. So very easy ones like the Washington Monument are things. Tower of London is a thing aesthetically, at least from the outside. And then you have ridiculous things like the one-to-one scale replica of the Starship Enterprise, which is a real thing. Definitely recommend you guys check out that video because your heads will explode. Let's just say to view the entire thing, you have to pan your camera across, standing a good length away from it.
Block after block after block. That's what's impressive about it, though.
Yes,
is absolutely. That someone actually went there, and not just on the outside, because I'm sure they built a really nice model when you stand back and look at it from a distance, but I'm almost certain that they've gone inside it too and most likely modeled the bridge and modeled pathways and stuff like that, right?
Well, and that's part of the appeal, and that's always something I want to look into is what's the appeal of the game. And so it appeals to people who want to fight and have adventures, but also people who just want to create and more have a passive experience that doesn't involve confrontation. It's just the creation. So it can appeal to both camps and a broader audience.
I think she has a very good point over it. Well, let's also discuss the two options available in Minecraft, which we will let Mr. Zach Shepard delegate.
What are the two options?
I think we're talking about peaceful versus non-peaceful.
Oh, like ways to play the game?
Right.
Two modes.
There's
basically freestyle mode where there won't be any creepers. You're free to build as you please. And then there's also the more RPG-ish aspect of the game, which is random environments and random enemy spawns.
Yeah.
But in a sense, those two are also, I guess, as you described, represent in a way chaos and order. You know, you have basically God mode, which lets you build these glorious monuments. And then you also, on the other hand, have a way to weather the elements. Wow, good job. Elements and test your metal against random happenings.
Yeah.
I mean, physical and just sporadic and also how they spawn.
So there's people who, the community behind this game is huge. There's such a massive following. And I've seen people who actually built full-blown RPGs out of this game. So they were able to actually model out towns and the space in between the towns and figure out how to trap enemies and release them whenever they want to, you know, emulate storyline and to emulate the progression of an RPG and stuff like that. And, you know, people spend so much time crafting this world into something that's a completely different game. They're taking the original idea of Minecraft, which is creativity, and turning it into an RPG, which is, you know, just wake up, who are you? You know, you have to figure out your story, and you read all these little signs to figure out who you are, and you run from town to town killing enemies. And, I mean, really creative stuff happens there. And then you have things like the Starship Enterprise, which you're talking about, which is most likely done in the other mode, the passive one.
Absolutely.
Because you wouldn't want a creeper coming up and destroying something
exactly.
labor-intensive.
It would be very common sense. I mean, not unless you're just reckless and you love the challenge of rebuilding something.
I do know several people who do like that, though. And they like to go through...
they sound like virtual masochists.
Well, some people actually...
it's like, oh, I hope he's coming. I'm almost done with this. Oh, creeper. Yes! Blow it up! Yes. Now we have to start all over. Good.
Darty.
Nice. Yeah. And you do have to start all over.
And you do.
You know, if that's their thing, then let it be so.
Well,
but
one thing I wasn't able to figure out from the videos we watched, how wide does the trail of destruction go when a creeper comes up behind you?
I think it's random.
Yeah.
So but I mean, I, just I'm not, a few. Not like... on an unbelievable scale. Like, there won't be, like, a freaking moon crater.
Like, it that won't destroy happen, your entire Enterprise.
The blast radius will not be able to take out the entire Starship Enterprise.
Okay.
I do think, though,
that could be another story.
I do think, though, that if you trigger a creeper and another creeper's in the vicinity, it causes a chain reaction.
Oh.
And it is possible for multiple creepers to spawn, and they do seek you out, so they kind of, you know, wander towards you.
I wonder if there's any AI in coordination on them. Multi-chain explosion?
There could be.
It could be a little bit random, though. And I would appreciate that, because it would suck nothing more than to have a coordinated explosion. You know, way to amplify.
Oh, you're telling me. I mean,
but then again, like you said, there are people that love this kind of thing. So
I can personally relate to losing work because of the creepers, though. And the world that I built, I actually went back and freshened up on it because it's been a while since I played, but I played it before, you know, obviously before doing this podcast, and I had to remember why I built my entire town in the sky. And what I remember is that I got really angry when the creepers kept blowing up my creations, and I didn't want to be on the ground plane where they could spawn with me. So I built a giant ladder that went really high up into the sky and started building everything out there. Even put ground up there and had irrigation and everything I needed.
That's pretty amazing, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the creepers are the worst of the enemies. They're the most annoying. Obviously, you lose hard work. You can die, any number of things. Even if you're deep in the ground and trying to find rare metals, you can, like, knock out a piece of ore, and then behind it you just see a creeper's head, and then you're done. And you don't remember where you were. You can't get back to save all your stuff. But there are skeletons that spawn up as well.
What is the downside to a skeleton? Like, what does he kind of break down?
The skeleton, I think all of them are archers, and that's sort of the thing about them is they can hit you at a distance.
Oh, a ballistic enemy.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
There are spiders, and...
Ooh.
I think Zach
hates spiders.
I do hate spiders.
Especially digital ones.
Yeah, you remember that time on one of our shows where the spider came down from the ceiling and
played on my head? That podcast was rude. I don't know if we were outwardly stating why it just ground to a halt or why the energy was sucked out of the room.
We did, because it was really awkward, and I don't think you wanted to leave an
eye. I was hoping you wouldn't see it. It was equidistant of both of us. So I'm like, if this isn't freaking me out, this shouldn't freak him out. And just like, no.
Then I looked at it and like cringed in my seat.
Yeah, we're done.
But anyway, yes, I do not like spiders. This is true. But the spiders in Minecraft they're not that bad. They're kind of adorable. But the thing that sucks about the spiders, though, is they can spawn in really weird places. Like, they can actually spawn up higher on structures and stuff like that. And they're not really hard to take out, you know, but they're just there. It's another enemy that comes up.
Is it like a 1-2 punch? Pun intended.
Basically.
Nice.
It's very, very punny of you.
Are there any other enemies?
Oh, there's tons of enemies. There's an enemy that's like the Slenderman, which I think is called an Enderman.
I like how you call them Slenderman, like it was the last name.
Yeah, you know, like Jeff Slenderman.
Yeah, Jeff Slenderman. It's like, he always creeps up on you. You can never tell. He's just there when you don't need him to. When you're talking, you just turn, oh, Jeff, speaking of the devil.
So there's Enderman. They are very elusive. They sort of just materialize, and they shoot crap at you that's hard to evade. They're an advanced enemy. They're a little harder to kill than the other ones. There's actually a whole world containing new enemies. So this is a thing that I'm not sure if either of you read about. And so eventually digging around in the world, you find obsidian, I think it's called. There's obsidian stone. And you can't really mine it until you get the best materials. And when you can finally obtain obsidian, if you build a portal that I think the dimensions are like, 4 in width and 5 in height, and just build a rectangle, it actually fills the inner part of it with a portal. And you go into that portal, and it transforms your entire randomly generated world into the nether world. So it's a second version of your world that's all like fire and hell and flames and stuff like that.
So that's another aspect of Minecraft that we haven't touched on yet. In the random mode, there are basically two aspects. There would have been 3. According to development details, but the two that we're left with is the regular overworld that we have, but we also have the netherworld.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the third one that we were not included in on, or there wasn't enough development time on, would have been, I guess, the sky world, which is basically building into the sky.
So I think the video we watched said that that wasn't developed, but there is a third version that's not netherworld, not overworld. What is it?
Is it sky?
Yeah.
But it's not Sky. It's just a plane where you fight a dragon.
Actually in the game.
That is. Okay.
Yeah. That's actually sort of, you know, people think that Minecraft actually sort of circles around forever and doesn't have an end. Mm-hmm. That there is an actual sort of ending to the game, and it's that dragon.
Right.
I don't remember what it's called, but I know that you have to go through a lot of like material gathering and combinations and stuff to research the right spells to open the portal and to get into that world.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dragon flying around there. If you kill a dragon, then congratulations, you sort of won, but yet the game still doesn't end. You can continue to build the world forever, which is good because that's the point of Minecraft. There's that. The Sky thing sounds pretty cool. Kind of a bummer that they didn't go through with that.
And maybe they will in the future.
It's possible.
Because they keep coming out with new things. You just installed some updates and they gave you some... And it was behind a paywall, right? You could install a skin for different video games.
Oh my god, yes. They were teasing me with Mass Effect skins for the entire world of Minecraft. Mm-hmm. I want that so bad.
Zach is quite the Mass Effect fan.
I want it. It's $4, and I was so tempted to just press that button, but I will do that later.
Is this a good time to remind people that there's a donation button on your website?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a perfect time to remind them that there's a donation button because it's set to $5, which is one upgrade pack to Mass Effect for me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I would put that money towards the show, not spend it on DLC.
See, are you sure it has to be only 3 game episodes that we have to do? Because you're just basically doing our work for us at this point.
Now, guys, something that Minecraft has in common with the other 2 games we discussed, we talked about Pokemon and World of Warcraft, and that's the social aspect. So someone can create a world, and then their friends can come play in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is your world something that people can come play in?
Yes. So any world that is created can be played in multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Minecraft has some hosted servers where you can build a world and people can just automatically connect to it. Or you can actually host a server of your own. Some people are into like tweaking servers to do different things and stuff like that. You know, whatever, to each their own. But a bunch of my friends back in San Angelo, they are hosting their own server out of their house. So they just have this one machine dedicated to housing their world that they've created. And
it's by invitation only, right? To let people in?
I think so. I know that all it is just knowing an address, mm-hmm, to direct your game to, and then you can get in their world. But I think there might be a way to block people.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily.
I think there are certain privacy settings, but it lends itself in a social sense that you can invite anyone you would prefer to come to your world.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, there's that exploration with friends. Not so much strangers, and there can be. It depends on the way you set up your game, right. But it's more of an exploration of friends. And basically playing a game of pretend, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
Except, you know, all your imagination's ruined because you have this now.
Right. So when you turn the game off, then things just suck.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, in a sense, it's like D&D. The random mode is where you're kind of given a random world, and then you're given a bunch of random enemies, and it's how you traverse the land, and it's your actions as your character that will, you know, allow or disallow random enemies to show up. So it is very much like a Dungeons & Dragons
game. So what you're telling me is that Notch is the dungeon master of Minecraft.
Yeah, he would have to be. And he definitely has a persona to be dungeon master, because I could just see him being a really fun dungeon master in the sense that there's like, creepers.
I was about to say, so he's the one responsible for every creeper explosion that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, he's totally trolling you. And then there would also be like the, I could totally see that Notch going just like, look out for that Slenderman. And then you're like, what? And... So basically, it's just that aspect of exploration with your friends. You know, it's kind of fun to have strangers along for the ride because you never know what they're going to do. But even friends have the ability to just be random at times and totally screw you over. Totally troll you.
And in this game, annoying.
Yeah, very much.
Incredibly annoying. Planting trees where they don't belong, axing your stuff, killing your animals. It's all there.
Well, and in the sense
of... So maybe not the best game for someone who's super OCD.
Or is it?
Or is it?
It could be.
Yeah, just don't invite friends.
Don't invite your friends.
Exactly.
Because it gives you control. it's what someone with OCD wants. You get my control blocks. Over the entire world.
Sure. So if you're like the Sheldon Cooper of video games, you definitely will not have friends around. And that's exactly what he would do. And I think it's going to... I think it's something that we're going to touch on after the break is the modularity of Minecraft, including some mods and probably a little bit more discussion on just how vast it is.
We can talk about the inventory system and the crafting aspects as well.
Excellent. We'll take care of all that after this break.
So guys, one point that got touched on briefly before we took our break, but then was digressed away from, is does this game represent creativity? Because I think Hector said, you know, you're playing a video game and you're kind of blocking out real life as opposed to actually doing something that's creative. And I wonder about that because one of the videos we watched mentioned Lego blocks and how this is kind of similar to that. And I kind of wondered also if the game appeals to children for that reason.
I think that Minecraft is obviously purposefully built the way it is. So I kind of joked in the sense that it inhibited imagination, but it could actually augment imagination in the sense that it's built in the most basic form ever, which is cubes. Everything from the characters to the enemies are not very high in polygons. So in a sense, you the player, have the opportunity to fill in the blanks the way you want to. So there's a chicken, there's a cow, but because of the very limited construction of the game, you're, in a sense, forced to shape them in your own mind, in your own imagination, the way you want them to. Now, obviously, there are mods that will give you full textures and let you look at things a little bit more curvaceously. And
ooh, curvaceous.
That's right.
Ladies. Think,
all right. Great pickup, guys. But there is that sense. And it harkens back to the 8-bit days where things were a lot simpler because you were designing things in pixel art, which in a sense is also another aspect of Minecraft's visual design. You were in the 8-bit days. You only had a handful of pixels to fill out. So that little dot in a character could be an eye. It could be a nose. It can be an ear.
Tattoo?
It just depends on... It could be a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a sailor tat. But it's only represented by one block.
I think a good way to... think about this for someone who, you know, or I guess a good way to explain this is to think of, like, once again, I'll reference Mass Effect. Ooh, big shocker. But the thing about Mass Effect is everything is so close to being realistic that you can't go reverse. You can't imagine it as a simpler game. So what we're looking at here is something that's so intrinsically simple that it just becomes whatever you want it to become. And because you can move the blocks around in your own order, you can literally make it into anything that you want.
Now, the idea that it's not terribly realistic, one of the lines that showed up on Wikipedia said that a critique of it is that the physics aren't very realistic.
No, they're not.
Obviously, I mean, you chop down a tree and yet everything above where you chopped remains. There's not gravity. But there is gravity in the sense that you could fall down, right?
You could fall.
So for static objects, I think there's no gravity. But obviously for a constantly moving object or for an object that has a capability of to free roam, like per se a creeper, There is gravity infused into that, not static object. So
yeah, so the way the game is set up, I don't find that to be a very valid critique. I don't think it takes away any of the enjoyment of the game.
Actually, what I like to refer to that style of gameplay, when you sort of just throw realistic physics out the window, I call that arcade. Mm-hmm. That's you're arcading. Use it as a verb. Like you're playing arcade-ingly.
Whatever.
Oh yeah, but yeah. I mean, there are blocks actually, blocks that do move down, not just people. And they're like the water. So if you place a water cube in the air, water just multiplies, which simulates, you know, water.
A cascading effect.
So it'll actually just reproduce water blocks and go all the way down to the ground. The lava does the same thing as well. And sometimes there are actual blocks that you can cause to push or project. There's dispensers that shoot blocks. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different physics involved, but none of it is realistic.
It's got its own science.
Yes,
I guess,
because they've rewritten the rules of the world.
Right,
is what they've done.
You start with tools that are very basic. You start with your hand, then you move up to wood.
I would say that's very basic. Yes.
Yeah, hands are very basic.
No, you get dumped into the world. There's nothing but land and animals, and you find a tree, you beat it down, and you acquire wood, and you acquire some seeds. And then you take the wood and you break it down into sticks, and then you take the sticks and you can start building houses and fences, and you can build doors, and you can build a crafting table. And then with that table, you can build bow and arrows. You can build wooden swords, wooden shovels, wooden axes,
which enable you to get the other things you need to build even better tools.
Yes.
The world you were showing me had, you had diamond armor.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess in the real world wouldn't exist, but that's the best thing you can get.
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest level.
At least
quality.
I think it is.
Yeah, diamond.
I don't know if there's anything better.
Yeah, maybe. Because in the real world, you wouldn't be able to chop down a tree with a pork chop. Typically.
Absolutely not. But that's definitely, I would say that's the charm of Minecraft.
Yeah.
Is it writes its own rules, and it's a little bit of a learning curve if you're used to certain aspects of video games, you know, and certain aspects of the gravity being already infused into the gaming engine. But it's not a letdown, or it's not frustration so much as it is the charm of Minecraft. That is that is what Notch wants you to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The simplistic is a feature of it.
Yes.
Like you were showing me a recipe for cookies, and it was cocoa beans and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't quite work in your kitchen.
I'd like to see someone try to eat that. That would be
some awesome cookies, man.
That would be, at one point I'd see
they put their weed in it.
A cough of just beans and just a powdery explosion of flour. And you just hear the beans just on the floor.
Well, you know that if you could do like powder explosions, then there would be an immediate Scarface clone going on in the game.
So in a sense, the game is minimalism, which I am a fan of. There is the sense that he used limited resources to make the game more compact and more easy to play on really old machines, or hell, even new machines. Like
you can bust out your iPhone.
Right. And that's one benefit of this game. Unlike World of Warcraft, which we talked about last week,
it's
where you can just play on PC. You've got so many options for playing this. You said your phone. You've been playing it on Xbox, PC as well.
I've played it on my iPad as well.
Right.
Yeah, so the low size, the very small size lends itself very easily to any media, new and old. So that's the appeal to the minimalistic style and design of the game. And I remember a few years ago, and I love the idea, there was a gaming project where people were trying to fit it an entire game into an obsolete piece of media, which was a floppy disk. So people had really funny ideas, and one of them was box sumo wrestlers, drunk sumo wrestlers, and the physics were designated. It makes sense because the physics were designated for them. There was a little bit of roll. You could see them staggering, and you could also see them lean forward. So it was almost like dumb luck if you actually won a match or not. But the most appealing factor of that all is that this high amount of entertainment was available in only like 1.44 megabytes. So it was entertaining to watch, but it was also amazing to see that this was running on an obsolete media. So again, it's that sense of that less can be more, that less is more.
And but the other great, the amazing thing though about Minecraft is that if none of this stuff is good enough for you visually, if you're not a big fan of the style, you can actually swap it out with something that you're a huge fan of.
Yeah.
And this comes back to the modularity of Minecraft, which is important to note. And I think there's even ways that you might be able to alter like the server installation, like I was talking about earlier. So you might be able to alter spawn times, creatures, you know, stuff like that. But that's sort of like source code editing and whatever. But the built-in additions to the modularity is the texture. So the whole game is based off a texture pack, which you can see is very blocky and square and stuff like that. And so they, you know, allow for people to replace all of those textures with whatever they want. And someone immediately, of course, went and made a high-definition version of the game. So they built the sprites with the same design in mind. You know, even the creepers are green and all that stuff. It's all the same world. They just built it with high-resolution pixels instead of that, like, old 8-bit look. And it looks amazing. I mean, it looks really good. I mean, as good as a game built off the foundation of squares is going to look, right? But it still looks awesome.
And I think YouTube and Twitch are a goldmine, pun intended, it's a goldmine in resources of people messing around with these mods. So it's anything that you could put your mind into, in the sense that we were talking about earlier, anything that you could have imagined being a physical thing, whether it be real or in the fictional, it's also the sense is how far can your creativity, in this case, get you in terms of modding the game, and you see some really amazing stuff. Like Zach said, textures is one of them. People always play around with them.
Now, there's one mod I've always wanted that I, for some reason, is just not compatible with my installation. It bothered me. And it turned the world of Minecraft into the world of Super Mario. Oh. Which, to me...
That's fun.
That's a nerdgasm.
That's,
at its finest.
That must be painful for you to not experience.
It was... Well, I downloaded it. It's free. I downloaded the package and I put it in and it had errors and stuff and it wouldn't work. So it really tugged on my heartstrings. Although, I will say... The one I ended up going with was the portal version of it. And they had like portal cows and portal chickens that look like just little robots and stuff. It was really cool.
Did you say the design of your character is based on Portal as well?
Yeah. The skins of your characters and everything get swapped out.
So they look like Chell?
Wait, what?
They look like the main character?
Yeah.
So when you're doing the Mario world, are you able to look like Mario?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yes, and this is a thing that, because of that type of modularity, they've actually been, now I've realized this after playing just now, is they've been sort of utilizing that. They actually offer you in-game to buy, like, this Mass Effect skin thing that I was talking about, and all I did was, you know, take Mass Effect's IP and just slam it into the little folder that imports the new textures and stuff like that, but you just pay a little extra money for it.
So creation in Minecraft is basically infinite. So it's a minimalist aspect, but it has the potential to be infinite in your eyes, the way you want to see it and the way you want to create it and the way you want to modify it. And that's what makes Minecraft have so much longevity. And it's a game that we're going to continue to play for years and years.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's a pretty good business model because they're able to reach out to so many different people and offer something that appeals to just about anybody.
Exactly. Okay. And now, we previously touched on it in the last episode, you know, when Emily asked, is there a successor to Warcraft? And me and you looked at each other and we're like, yes and no, in the sense that there are these little niche games. And Minecraft in itself has created a niche market for itself, which inevitably creates a longevity for the game that has yet to be seen in any other format.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like the way Minecraft is going, then...
Just wait a little longer.
Wait a little longer, yeah. Or take your hands, take it up upon yourself to create the world you want to see it or the textures you want to see. Because again, it's modular, so you could actually create stuff.
Mm-hmm. You said we looked at each other. We had a moment there in that last episode. I was thinking in my mind, do you ever imagine like really sexy music playing when we do that? Like you just hear the wah guitar go wow waka tikka waka tikka, and someone goes, oh yeah.
I hear more like soft piano, like tin tin.
Well, that's one thing you guys wanted to talk about also was the music that plays in Minecraft.
It's also, it lends itself to the game very well. I mean, Notch was no slouch in selecting what he felt would be good music for the game. And
it's very peaceful.
It's peaceful in the sense that before you create something, like earlier, I was working on the Zen Rock Garden, it's... it's important to put your mind at ease, and it gives you the ability to see more, to do more. And I think that the music lends itself perfectly to that. I mean, could you be as creative listening to metal? Perhaps, if that's your thing. But I mean, to most other people, it's really nice to have that music in the background, because it calms your mind down and it kind of sets you up for a creativity process.
It's a different type of creativity when you're doing metal. You're in the netherworld, like beating, you know, zombies to death.
Oh, yeah, that's Minecraft Metal Edition.
Nice. And Zach, you mentioned the sound effects also, and how they're kind of gentle and don't interrupt.
Yeah, you don't get any blatant, like you would expect to, like in you know, once again, this talks about the real world physics and how they kind of tossed him out the window. But you would expect that if you ran up and started like wailing on a stone with a pickaxe, that you'd get some sort of big noise out of that or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's more just like a light thud.
Just kind of a whoosh.
There's nothing that really sort of takes you away from that zen sort of feeling of like you're the creator and you have all that. You want to, obviously, unless like a freaking creeper shows up and you hear that hiss, then that's the one thing that will just immediately, and then you rage quit the game. But
that's Zen ruined. It's like the equivalent of earlier, just working on that and just having Zach's dog Chip just, hey, you mind if I breathe heavily on the sand?
Yeah, he's gonna go screw up the Zen little Zen garden.
Yeah,
but it's just inevitable. It's not a when, but in a if. Wait, no, it's not an if, but when. Wow, that was awesome. Nice and backwards for you guys.
You got it, though.
I did. I fixed myself. Anyway, so one thing that we've not talked about yet that's very, very important to the world of Minecraft is the items that are inside of the world of Minecraft. So we've talked about so far just placing blocks, conjuring blocks, finding blocks, mining blocks.
We've talked about mostly natural things, animals, yeah, dirt, rocks, right, trees.
Not the items. And this is actually where the game has a really solid mechanic, and it drives it through all the way to the end. And so like we said, you start off with nothing but your bare hands. You find wood eventually, and you use wood to create tools, and you get axes and shovels and stuff like that. So now you can start digging underground, and you can start chopping down trees and various things like that. Now the axe, in case one of you guys caught that, it actually just lets you chop down the trees faster, because you could already do it with your hands.
What I actually caught was fine wood. That's why.
I saw you smirk, and
it allows
tried
you
to play
to
it off.
Get wood.
But yeah. Yes, okay. It allows you to get wood.
Get plenty of wood.
And hopefully the time of the day does not happen to be the morning. Anyway, so you have the shovel. You go down.
No, continue.
You go beneath the surface.
Uh-huh. So you get wood and then you go down.
You go beneath the surface.
You're supposed to be saying ladies after this, ladies. Okay? But anyway, you keep going down.
Ladies.
And then you go deeper and
regions.
Deeper and deeper.
Yeah. Ladies.
No, she's got it.
He's got it. And then you eventually discover a new element.
Maybe this is a good time for your sexy music.
Yeah.
The dark nether regions.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's really hard to concentrate.
I'm completely
sure, right?
Game now.
Long story
all this
short.
Just made this long temperature.
Long story short. You have a pickaxe. You can now mine things under the ground. Like you find copper, you find gold and silver. You find redstone, which is actually their way of doing electrical circuits in the game. And so this is why I wanted to talk about itemization in the world of Minecraft, because what you can do is you can build full... I've seen someone actually build, you know, those little wind-up music boxes that you can buy from stores, and they have the little, like, teeth on them, and they just play music by, mm-hmm. you know, the little music box thing. They've actually built live versions of that in Minecraft by making a circuit that just rotates and it imitates like a metronome, like it just clicks over time, and then they can actually turn on layers on a song that these note boxes that you can create get triggered through that loop, and it actually sequences a song together. I've seen someone do the entire Mario theme song on that, and the whole time they're doing it, because they had to build this really long wall, they put a minecart underneath it, and the player is just on the minecart driving past it the whole time.
It's so amazing how we could always just take everything back to Mario. And it always seems that in a create a stage or create a world game, we always want to just replicate World 1-1. It's just like ingrained into us. Even yeah. as children, it's now a part of us. And it's kind of a way to give tribute to these games. But at the same time, Minecraft gives tribute to those games So it's just kind of a whole mess of...
Yeah, no, all that stuff. I mean, we saw like a huge, like really blown up version of Sonic earlier today. Like, you know, I say pixel for pixel, but it's just cube for cube. They rebuilt Sonic the Hedgehog as a 3D model. And it's impressive. You know, these people do really amazing things. You know, and so this is, once again, why the items are a key part of this, because it's not just building stuff out of cubes, but it's crafting these items and, you know, throwing a stick and fire together, create a torch. You throw, you know, four iron ingots together and you create a bucket, and then you can start capturing water. And the whole game is just about finding these rare minerals underneath the ground so that you can create these new and rare items that you can interact with, which is really cool.
So what you're saying, it's about mining and crafting.
Oh, it's such a weird coincidence. It's the weirdest thing. It's so weird.
You're seeing a pattern.
I mean, it's a good pattern to see. It's like it's relevant.
Notch is a genius.
Irrelevant. It's relevant.
It's relevant.
Would you say it's a revelation?
And I think, what else do we got here? What else do we got? You can ride pigs. You can build a saddle and put it on an animal and ride it around.
There was a joke there sexually, but well, I'm gonna let that one slide actually.
All right, fair enough. So what else do we have?
Can you ride
there?
Any of the animals? I saw chickens.
No, you can't ride a chicken. Although that would be super sweet.
Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be funny if there
can
would
you
be...
ride a creeper. Can you throw a saddle on a creeper?
No.
We're getting a little Kubrick on this, where you just need a cowboy hat.
That would be the ultimate dick move, though. If you were playing online with your friends and your friend built that huge mansion.
You're running on a creeper with your cowboy hat going, yeah.
Well, there actually are, there's people, it amazes me that people discover all this stuff, but there's someone that found like a... It's not an algorithm. They didn't technically do math, but they kind of did. They figured out how to build like a little box that leaves a 1x1 area that somehow glitches the game or something. And the math of the game that spawns the creepers in spawns them all into that one cube.
That's pretty good.
And what he was able to do is he built, you know, using the redstone and a lever, he built a way to open a gate and let the creepers out from a distance. So he could actually, he had like a little battle arena and this little, you know, dispenser that would capture all the creepers in it. And then his friends and everyone would jump in with their crystal armor and they would just sort of battle it out and have, you know, like an arena mode. You can hit your friends too, by the way. So you can just go to someone with a sword and kill them if you want their chicken breasts.
That is the infinite creation that is Minecraft right there. And in a sense, that's like the perfect encapsulation of the vastness of Minecraft.
Yeah.
And how you're able to just go straight up Colosseum with creepers and your armor and punching friends and foe alike.
The most amazing thing to me, though, is that I've never seen two things happen in Minecraft that are equivalent. That, to me, right there, like, Notch, if for some reason you're listening to this, my hat goes off to you, because that is like a designer's dream right there. You've created an experience that is not the same for everyone, no matter how hard you try.
Not replicable.
And I think that's such an amazing thing to do. And I'm thinking right now of, I actually have those friends I was talking about that play obsessively. My God, the things they did in that game, I could talk for hours, but...
They're not listening because they're just too busy playing Minecraft.
I told them to listen to this podcast, so they better be listening. I'm talking to you guys.
And the comment feels like, you didn't talk. It's like, oh, correction.
But one of the things they did is they actually created a whirlpool. So they had a generated, it's not a lake. It was really huge in their world. They had like a mini ocean, which is, I guess, a lake. And they were able to manipulate the ground layer beneath it to cause the water to sink down and create a vortex. And in the middle of that vortex, there's just one funnel hole that you can drop into. And what it did is it dropped you into one of their homes that they made. And you can create glass blocks. So the person somehow, it probably was really annoyingly difficult to do, because you have to keep pushing the water up as you're building underneath it. They built an entire glass roof or ceiling to their home, and they were able to sit in their home and look up at the water, which there are like sea creatures. There's like this octopus thing that swims around and stuff like that. And it's a really beautiful like, once again, it's a sort of a testimony to how awesome the 8-bit world looks inside of Minecraft, you know? Like, it's just like there's some really expensive hotels out there that are under the water, and how beautiful is that, you know? But just the fact that you would sink around in this funnel and then fall, like, drop into his living room, and then it's just like, oh, hey, there's a house here. And you sit in a chair and you look up and you could just look through the water and everything, you know? It just amazes me how unique this game can be.
Definitely a unique experience. If we could sum it up, it is, and it's a cliche when you're talking about games, but to call, in the purest form, you can call Minecraft a unique experience and mean every single word. The weight of those words is definitely felt in this game, none like any game before it.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck to whoever's trying to trump Minecraft, because
there's like 80 knockoffs already.
You've got your work cut out for you. Imitation is the highest form of flattery, but at the same time, you can't clone success.
One thing that I was actually reading on about Minecraft, you might find this interesting, is they're using Minecraft to educate kids in game development.
Oh, wow.
So they're, because obviously they're, you know, as a kid, there's only so much you can do as far as learning programming and math if you haven't been exposed to it mm-hmm. already. And so Minecraft is a perfect outlet for that, because you start to understand with like the redstone and the switch mechanics and starting to build mechanisms like that. It actually helps train your mind in a visual way, starts training you to be a programmer. It starts training you to have that mechanical mindset and to have that troubleshooting aspect of what code requires. And so I saw there's a little school somewhere that, has a bunch of computers in their lab, and they're all LAN connected together via LAN, and they just let all the kids jump in, and they were talking to some of the kids about it. And, you know, it's just like, there's one kid who sort of appointed himself as like the project leader, and he handles like building all the big structures and tells everybody else how to break down their tasks and do. So he's got kind of a management thing going as well. It's social, it's technical, and it's a really good way, and it's fun. The kids don't even have any idea that they're learning anything.
What age group is this for?
This age group was looking at like somewhere in between the, I would say like 8 to 14.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. And earlier you do it, the better it's going to develop and stuff like that. Later on, people are just going to realize it's game and whatever.
Right.
But yeah, so it's helping them develop some really important processes that normally in a classroom with numbers and words, probably not as interesting. So I thought that was really, I found that to be a really unique use for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. I know whenever I was in school, I don't know if it was the same for you, Hector, or Emily, but I had Math Blaster. Do either of you remember?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Really
familiar. Hector remembers it. Yeah. I heard it.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's a simple game that was developed, and you do math problems, and when you complete a problem, you progress to the game. So mm-hmm. you would shoot asteroids or something.
I think it was handled by, I think, Mavis Beacon or one of its contemporaries. but yeah, I remember.
It was killer though, man. Like, I could not wait to get into that computer lab.
Because we're kind of at the age where that was awesome, where you could go to the computer lab and
computers were less frequent.
Yeah,
it was more of a privilege.
I remember printing out my diploma that would certify me completing the game, and I remember it was right. done by a dot matrix printer, a color dot matrix printer, but it was so amazing to just go and that definitely takes me back.
That's Hector Perez doing the dot matrix.
I'll be here all night.
That could be a
dance. My room.
Doing the dot matrix. He literally will be here all night.
I will be here all night. Ladies.
It is your bedroom.
Ladies. But yeah, that's, I think as far as other intended uses, that's one of the best ones that I was able to discover.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a lot of other uses you can use it for. I mean, I've already talked about how therapeutic it can be. And by that, I mean how many times I've passed out head on the keyboard while playing the game because it just put me to sleep. And then you wake up and all your shit's blown up because of creepers and how annoying they are.
Minecraft, infinite creativity.
Ladies. Anyway, I think I'm running out of subject matter.
Well, that's good, because I think it's about time to wrap this episode up.
Boy, is it?
Slap episode, actually. Woo. Oof, correction.
Slip of the tongue.
But do you want to intro us out, Emily?
Intro is out.
Yes.
Hey, Hector's shutting down, guys.
I know what I said.
Oh, no, he's owning it. He's owning it. It's an intro out, guys. Enjoy this.
So guys, podcasting isn't easy and we all have to stick together. So I appreciate you having me 3 times and helping me out with my podcast.
Certainly. And so it's been a pleasure.
And having me in your home. So special thanks to you guys. And if you want to find me, I am Lone Holdout. I'm on iTunes. You can tweet me at Lone Holdout or email me loneholdout@redcowentertainment.com.
If you'd like to reach us, ladies, if you'd like to reach us, you can reach both Hector and I at Slapashow. That's S-L-A-P-A-S-H-O-W. You can also reach us the same tag on Facebook. So facebook.com/Slapashow. And we post all of our episodes up there. So you look forward to.
Available in a wide range of formats.
A wide
including
range of
format. But not limited to SoundCloud. And then we also have iTunes and. We also have our Facebook page. And
we also have Stitcher Smart Radio.
We also have Stitcher Smart Radio now.
And you're revamping and your Podbean. Website. So I've heard.
We're going to try to revamp the website. And we have a bunch of few projects since we pretty
bunch
much summarized. Bunch of few.
Intro out that bunch of
so
few.
So we summarized the entire history of video games. Not the entire, but as much as we could. So now we're just looking for new projects. And one of those is definitely in the works. Get ready to see our faces a lot now.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies.
Here, that merits an invisible high five. Yeah!
We're not going to do better than that. Should we all just say
we could have done a real slap. What?
Yeah, I know. We should have probably pulled up a microphone. But you know what? You could just augment it with the slap noise that we have. So okay. We're good.
Well, I'll just record that one and put it in post.
So I think Emily also gave us our, I guess... outro.
Sign out?
In the sense that, thank you. Thank you. That was the word I was trying to look for. she gave us our sign out, so I think we're all going to practice it together. And we're going to...
I remember what it is.
Oh, gosh. Okay. No, let's not tell them.
You did this last time to me, too.
On zero. And...
Finn.
Oh.
Good job. Cut. That's it. That's the one take. That's in essence. It's what this show's all about.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're done.
I bring a lot of entertainment in the fact that I'm retarded.